You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network and The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the podcast, and I also want to say a huge Merry Christmas to all of you. With Christmas being this week, I thought I would switch things up, and today I've invited my wife to be with me. Becky, I want to welcome you to the podcast for the very first time, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. This is the perfect setup for me to be able to ask a bunch of questions that I've always wanted to ask you. But no, I'm excited about having you on the podcast today, and my wife is the person that holds the Weber family together. We'd be completely lost and out of control without my wife.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So today, I thought we'd do something a little lighthearted. I'm going to start off by peppering my wife with a bunch of questions, and then I'm just going to ask a few questions that are honest questions. Maybe just some things about Christmas, what we're learning, and also a word of encouragement for people who are struggling. Before we do that, tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you currently doing? What are you currently working on? Ready, set, go.
I am loving right now because all four of my kids are in school. So that's giving me a little bit more time to do some of the stuff that I want to do. I enjoy writing. I doing a little bit more of the speaking thing too. Mostly the writing though, just kind of something that I want to get into a little bit more. And I don't know, I'm just enjoying this season of having a little bit more free time and just kind of deciding like what I want to do full time besides taking care of kids.
Yeah, this has been a really cool season for me, honestly, just to have you begin to be able to pursue the things that you want to pursue. Becky put me through seminary. She worked odds and ends jobs, crap jobs for the most part, while I was having mountaintop experiences learning from some of the greatest minds in the church right now and my professors. And so it's been really cool to get to this place where she's able to pursue some things. And I honestly believe she's the writer out of the two of us. I just happened to write a couple of books, but she's really the writer, and it's been cool to even see her. Right now she's working on a book proposal and kind of pursuing that. I would say that the kind of the main focuses that you have, just Jesus and following Jesus on a regular basis, your passion about women and pouring into women, and also really honest about struggling with depression and some of the not so fun parts of life.
Yeah, I think so. I just feel like growing up in the church, I was a pastor's kid, and so I always felt like it was maybe more religion, or that's just kind of what I grew up maybe learning or kind of perceiving. Not that there was anything wrong with the church that I went to, but I just feel like sometimes we don't really put as much effort into walking with Jesus on a daily basis and really getting to know him and what's that like. And because I really feel like if you're walking with him, talking to him throughout the day and bringing him into everything, that's how you're going to grow. That's how you learn to walk with him. And that's how you're going to learn to love him too.
Yeah, that's so good. And I'm going to include in the show notes a link to Beck's Instagram and also to her website so you can follow her there. Again, she just always has so many great thoughts, and you post almost on a daily basis. You'll kind of have one main thought post that you share. And so go and follow her. But we have a short, limited amount of time right now. Right now, we're actually at our guest house. So we flipped a drug house and made it into a guest house. I share about that in Love Has a Name. And right now, our kids have an hour of game time each night. So that starts at 7 p.m. So we started that, and then we ran over here telling them no idea where we went to. They obviously can reach us by phone, but we didn't want to let them know where we're hiding so they come and find us. And so that's what we're doing. We're hiding from our kids right now. But I'm gonna ask random Christmas questions to start. She's giving me a dirty look. Okay. And I don't know the answers myself for you, and I'm going to try to answer them myself. So these are kind of rapid fire. First off, favorite Christmas movie?
Chevy Chase. What is that?
Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Christmas Vacation was mine as well. Favorite Christmas music album?
Mariah Carey.
Is it really?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
What is wrong with that?
I don't know. I'm trying not to judge Mariah Carey and you both right now. Mine is the Rat Pack, I think that's, I'm saying that right. The Rat Pack, like Frank Sinatra. I believe it's all those. I love kind of the classics. Favorite holiday drink?
Caramel apple spice from...
From Starbucks?
Starbucks, but that's not really a holiday drink.
It feels holiday-ish. I don't really have a holiday drink. I just do the same thing. Right now I'm a Starbucks guy or the Source in downtown Sioux Falls, and my Starbucks drink is a ice grande coffee with sugar-free vanilla and cream. Worst Christmas present you were ever given?
I don't know.
I think mine, I actually mentioned it in church recently, but mine was getting a beach towel every single Christmas from my grandma. Do you have a worst Christmas gift?
I can't think of anything right now.
Do you have a best Christmas gift?
I like the jewelry that you've gotten me before, yeah. Like earrings or something like that I can wear all the time.
I think my two best Christmas gifts I ever got was a Bengals starter jacket and then also a train set. I remember getting that from my parents, and I thought that was fantastic. One thing you don't like about Christmas that most people love? These are questions I have no idea what she's going to say.
I don't really like singing Christmas carols, honestly.
So, so this is actually a really fun fact. If you want to terrorize my wife, like,
that's not fair.
If you want to give her nightmares, send some carolers over. Every year we have Christmas carolers that come around.
Probably not this year with COVID, though.
We have them door to door, and I'm not kidding. My wife and I, we hide from the Christmas carolers. I want to go meet them and say hello, but I always feel weird with having people sing to me. But my wife, she hides as much as she possibly can. Favorite Christmas tradition growing up?
I'm going to my grandma's house on Christmas Day.
Oh yeah, I got to be a part of that too myself. What's a Christmas tradition that we have as family? Do we have Christmas traditions that we do?
We typically go to the Christmas Eve service. We'll come home, have a meal, then we'll read the story of Jesus, and then opening presents is basically our tradition.
And then we typically we'll try to go up north to see your folks or my parents. Yep. We usually celebrate my parents. My parents have been going to Arizona the last couple of years, so we celebrate early with all of them. So those are kind of the rapid fire questions. Those were fun to ask you. These are questions that I wish, maybe I just need to have us put on headsets more often so I can get answers to questions out of you, because this has been great. I had someone the other day say, I have no idea.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network.
That's totally okay with you. So, like some real questions, I should say. Have you ever had a hard Christmas, and what was helpful for you during that time? And if you don't have an answer, no problem. But have you ever had a hard Christmas, and what helped you during that time?
I don't know if I've necessarily had a hard Christmas, but I feel like just the past couple of years, I've just kind of noticed that instead of being happy during this holiday season, it seems to be a little bit harder for me as far as just depression-wise. I just tend to struggle on a daily basis with depression, and so it could be the time of the year too, when everybody's kind of affected with the darkness and that kind of thing. But I just feel like it's harder to enjoy things. It's harder if you don't have depression. It's probably hard to understand, but it's just sometimes it's this overwhelming feeling of sadness, and there's really no reason for it. And especially when it's coming up on winter and the months of the year where it's colder, there's not much daylight, it tends to get a little bit harder, especially for me. And so when you feel this sense of sadness and just you don't know what to do with it, it's really hard to enjoy things sometimes. Especially, I don't know. It just makes it a lot harder to maybe even function on a daily basis. Like, I can honestly say there's probably been, it goes in waves, and but like last year and this year specifically, I feel like some days it can be a little bit harder to get out of bed even, and you just kind of want to dig a hole and not really be around necessarily, but just kind of, you just don't want to do anything. You just want to be in your hole and just protect yourself from everything.
What's been helpful? What do you, like, if for someone in a similar place as you, what's been helpful? What's been helpful for you to walk through that and not to survive, but just also to thrive?
I think it's just helpful when people, number one, understand that about me and don't try and force me to feel better because I can't really feel better. And number two, I feel like taking an antidepressant has really taken the edge off of my depression and just being okay with the fact that maybe even like right now, like maybe I do have to go up in dosage a little bit and just kind of taking care of myself and making sure I'm getting like vitamin D or going outside, exercising. And also, I think just literally being honest with Jesus, like bringing him in, like talking to him, even in the worst moments when I'm feeling like nothing, basically, just bringing him in on that gives me purpose. It gives me just hope in the fact that I'm going to get through this. He's not going to leave me in the dust and just let me sit there and rot. Like he's going to get me through it. And he's a lot of the reason why I do get through a day most of the time.
Yeah, no, that's so good. One of the things I appreciate about my wife is just her willingness to share kind of the hard parts of thing. And as someone who doesn't struggle with depression, I think I struggle with anxiety from time to time, but as someone who doesn't struggle with depression like myself, I just really am grateful for the voice that you are to encourage so many other people, because I know a whole bunch of people look up to you, Beck. And so I just really appreciate that honesty. And I was going to say the exercises, but I see exercise as a huge part of something that lifts your spirit. But more than anything, your relationship with Jesus is something that I personally look up to so much, and just how you connect with God and what your relationship looks like with him. Different question. What do you currently feel like you're learning this Christmas or the last couple of months? What do you feel like you're learning about life, about God? And is there anything that's specifically that comes to mind when you think about that?
I just think since it's been a hard year for everybody, I feel like we forget sometimes that that's where Jesus does the work, like in the hard stuff. Like that's where he's going to change us. That's where he's going to take us and mold us. It's not when everything is going well that you're probably going to change much. And honestly, when things are going well, we tend to rely on ourselves more, I think. And so when we're in these seasons of trials, whatever it is, if we have the attitude of, yes, Lord, this is hard, but I know that you're going to do something with it, I feel like he will do something with it and you will come out of it a better person than you were before. And so just kind of trying to have that attitude as far as, you know, all the hard stuff with COVID and the election and I don't know, just everything going on this year. Just like, okay, Lord, like you're going to use this for something. Like even though it's hard and it's painful, I know that you're going to use it for something. And I know that we know the end, and the end is good. And you are part of that end. And we're going to be with you forever. So if we can have that and look to that as our hope, I think that's kind of what I've been learning lately.
That's so good. For me, the first question, when was a hard Christmas and what brought me through? For me personally, really the only hard Christmas that I can think about is a few years ago, after kind of a really horrible leadership situation that I went through, kind of my rock bottom moment. I've mentioned it here and there, just had to make a really hard decision that wasn't popular. It was months after that, so probably 4, 5, 6 months after that Christmas hit, and I was still, my world had still been turned completely upside down. I can remember just being in so much pain that Christmas, so much confusion that Christmas, so much bitterness and just resentment that Christmas. And yet I was so thankful that even in that place, that God came and met with me. And I can actually remember that Christmas probably being the most powerful Christmas I've ever had, just because I was so desperately in need of a savior and a Lord. Like just at this rock bottom place, I was really questioning if I wanted to be a pastor at that point. I mean, it was just a rock bottom moment for me that lasted probably 6 months to a year. And yet I was so grateful that Jesus had come to this earth, that we are celebrating his birth. And so I want to encourage the person who's just at that rock bottom place. Maybe it's you've just gone through a divorce. Maybe you've made a mistake yourself. You've had a DUI, you had an affair, and it's just kind of this rock bottom moment or your business is struggling or whatever it might be, it's just kind of still turned upside down, I would encourage you to press in to Christmas like never before. Just to open up the book of Matthew and read the Christmas story and realize that Jesus has come to you and he that is worthy of celebrating. So that's my word of encouragement that was helpful for me. What am I learning this Christmas? Honestly, this year has been brutal, but for me personally, it's nothing in comparison to a few years ago, this season that I just talked about. And I just read through the first few chapters, actually the entire book of James last night. I couldn't stop reading, but in chapter one, he talks about during trials, you'll face all these trials, and it will produce endurance in your character, and it'll refine you. And I'm always amazed. We would never rejoice in the midst of our trials. That's not a natural thing to do. But genuinely, because of the trials that I walked through 2-3 years ago, 2020, this is just for me personally, I don't want to make light of what everybody else is going through, it's felt like a cakewalk to a couple of years ago. And I'm saying that and yet, you know, the church I pastor, we're not seeing over 60% of the people. And so it's been a hard year. One of my pastor friends said this has been the hardest year. Every part of his job that he loved has been taken away. And so it's not been an easy year, but it's been nothing for me personally compared to a few years ago. And I think that's endurance. And so really, I've just found myself so grateful that I am at the place that I am in my relationship with Jesus. And that's bragging on Jesus, not on me. But I'm just amazed by how trials do produce endurance and they do refine our character. And I feel like I'm reaping the benefits of that right now. I mean, it's been a hard year, and yet all I can find myself doing is thank you, God, it's not a couple of years ago. And just thank you, God, for all the blessings in my life. Thank you for a wife that I love, for my kids. Thank you for my home and income. Thank you for my job. Thank you for the church I get to pastor. I never thought that I could love a church like Embrace as much as I do right now, specifically after a few years ago and what we went through. I love the church. A few Sundays ago, we gave away over $15,000 to random people in the church. And I brought up the idea, but I didn't want to push it through. And so I just genuinely brought it to the team and said, what do you think? And they were just like, yes, we need to do that. And I can remember that day just like loving. I'm like, this was so much fun just to see God work and move. And so I just want to encourage you in that way, that the trials you do walk through, if you run towards Jesus instead of away from Jesus in those times, that it will produce endurance, that it will refine your character. Another question for you. What would be a word of encouragement that you would have for people in general this Christmas? And I'm not looking for you to have any crazy profound thing, but is there a word of encouragement that you'd have just for people in general this Christmas?
It's just Jesus, like the reality that he came. It's just like, it's true, you know, just remember that and just kind of take some time to take that in. I don't know, just think about it. Because I mean, really, like, he came, he experienced everything that we experienced. And I mean, the hope that gives us, I just feel like, is more than we can even know. And so, I don't know, just take some time just to reflect on, like, what does this mean for me? Or what does this mean for my life or for my family or whatever? Like, I feel like that'll bring so much more meaning to your holiday season, to your relationship with the Lord, if we really just kind of take a step back and say, like, what does this mean? He came. He experienced everything we experienced. He died for us. And he knows exactly what we're going through right now, even in this year. So just take some time just to really reflect. And that's what I would say.
That's so good. For me personally, my encouragement would be to try to hear the story of Christmas as if you're hearing it for the very first time. One of my best friends, Travis Waltner, he's one of the campus pastors on staff. He had a guy recently say that he doesn't like Christmas season in the church because he's heard the story a whole bunch of times, and it's just kind of like, yeah, I kind of want something else. Like, I'm kind of tired of the Christmas story. Like, I want some more depth. And Travis just said, you haven't heard the story then. Like if you're sick of the Christmas story, like if you're sick of the story of Jesus' birth, he's like, no, you haven't heard the story then. Like you need to hear it again. Like you've heard it a whole bunch of times. Like, no, you've missed it every time then. If you're sick of the story, you haven't heard the story. And so I want to encourage you to hear the story of Christmas for the very first time. And maybe that's reading out of Matthew, like I mentioned earlier. Last year, I can remember hearing Silent Night, a song that I've heard, a hymn that I've heard every Christmas since I was still in the womb. I mean, you sing the Silent Night song, and for some reason, the lyrics last Christmas just absolutely came alive. Shepherds quake at the sight. Like there's just so many parts that you're just like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And I've been singing this for so long and it's never hit me. And so maybe even the singing Silent Night, just God, would you help me to capture every word that I'm singing as I sing this hymn? Would you help me to hear it as if I'm being told it for the very first time? Because it is such great news that the angel announces to the shepherds at that night, a savior and a Lord has been born today in the town of Bethlehem. And I just pray that would strike us. And more than just strike us, I pray it would change us. I pray that we would just come out of this Christmas and this Christmas season with just a sweetness to our relationship with Jesus. This year, 2020, has shaken a bunch of things up. Maybe you thought you had a really firm foundation in your career or your job or your bank account or your social life or your relationships. And 2020 just kind of shook it up a little bit. And it's like, oh my gosh, my career has no foundation. My health has very little foundation. And that's why we need Jesus, our firm foundation. And so I pray that we just approach it with really a sweetness and God would just come and move and speak to us and speak to our family in a really sweet way. And with everything being stripped back this year, that we would just come and worship God and thank him for the birth of his son. That'd be my word of encouragement, regardless of where you are. Well, Beck, I'm so grateful for the time. We need to do this more often.
Sure.
The whole time she's been giving me looks like, oh my gosh, what is he going to say next? But I love you so much. And for everybody listening, I know I mentioned it earlier, she holds our family together and she's really the person that holds me together in so many ways. I would not be the person that I am. This podcast wouldn't exist. A church wouldn't exist. Books wouldn't exist. So much would not exist if it wasn't for my wife. And so I love you. And we just both want to say a Merry Christmas to all of you. If you're a part of our lives in any way, shape, or form, we give thanks to God for you. And we pray that you just have a fantastic Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. You can find more from Adam Weber on Instagram and Twitter and at adamweber.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.